Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Join me at Pega's Family Restaurant today from 11 to 1. K7 and Johnson Drive in Shawnee. All the $12 dinner platters. $5 at Pega's Family Restaurant, 11 to 1 with me, K7 and Johnson Drive today. And right now we're going to talk college basketball with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Hello there, Mike. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing awesome. Thank you so much for the time. As always, we appreciate it. I will first ask you about your Pittsburgh Steelers. The regular season game of the year on Sunday in Pittsburgh between the Patriots and the Steelers. What is your level of confidence that the Pittsburgh Steelers will win and get the number one seed?
Well, you know, I think they've got a good shot. It will be interesting to see how they develop this game, because in the past, their mentality has always been sort of like, let's see if we can keep this game score low and try to keep Brady off the field and all that nonsense. And I think if they look at the reality of their team right now, I call it playing basketball. I mean, that at a certain point, I heard somebody else call it Big 12 football, which I guess is about the same thing.
That's right.
You just go out and you try to score a touchdown every possession, and you try to get the big stop. And that big stop is not necessarily going to be in the fourth quarter. It might be at some point in the second quarter, but you have to get the big stop at some point. And you're not going to more likely than not, you're not going to slow down Brady that much. But they've got to deal with you too. And that's, you know, I think that mentality has not been prevalent for the Steelers a lot of the time. But when Shazier went down with the injury and the very unfortunate injury in the Cincinnati game, and it was apparent that he would not be playing football in the near term, and now it's clear he's not going to play at all the rest of this year. At that point, you have to recognize who you are, and who the Steelers are is a great offense with a defense that at times can come up with a big stop and a lot of times can't. And so if you go out there thinking you're going to win 24-20 or something like that against the New England Patriots, you're going to lose.
Mike DeCourcy is our guest. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter. TSN Mike is his handle. All right, Mike, Nate is going to get in depth with you about Kansas, but before we go there, I want to ask you about Arizona State, the team that won at Allen Fieldhouse. We see him in the top five now, and I'm interested in Bobby Hurley and the job he's doing there. So let's start there. Exactly how good they have a terrific body of work right now so far this season, but exactly how good do you think this Arizona State team is?
I think they're good enough to finish in the top four in their league. I don't think that it goes far beyond that. They have a team that's built to win early because they can spread you out and drive you and they can make shots. And that's a team that's built to win early before you understand what your defense is about. And so they're taking advantage of that right now. And when they get into conference play, although their league is pretty poor, maybe top four is just me sort of covering my bases, but the league is really bad. And so, relative to the more difficult high major conferences, you know, I did a show in Vegas on, I think it's on Brett Musburger's network, and they were asking me about, you know, the Pac-12 versus the Big Ten, and the Big Ten has not had a successful start to their season, but I would say that the Pac-12 has even underperformed them. I mean, maybe statistically, RPI, whatever, they haven't. But in terms of having something to hang your hat on right now, all you have to hang your hat on is Arizona's potential. I mean, even their performance hasn't been good. So Arizona State may be able to take great advantage of that, but they are not, you know, they're not built to win in a good league. when you get into an NCAA tournament, then it starts to get empowered a little bit because teams don't know you well. But again, it goes back to if those teams have functional team defenses by then they should be able to contain some of what Arizona State does well.
All right, Mike, on to the Jayhawks. I know I tickled your fancy last week when I asked you about their ranking in the polls. But what I was getting at with that question was, obviously, I know the polls don't matter right now, but just seeing the number two by that Kansas name, I didn't feel like watching this team the way it's currently constructed. Like, oh, yeah, this is one of the two best teams in the country. And I guess the results the last couple of weeks or last couple games have shown that a little bit. Now, they're going to get Cunliffe back, I believe, for the game on Saturday against Nebraska. We're still waiting to find out about Billy Preston and D'Souza. How much will the addition of one or more of those players address their actual problems? How much of their problems can they address themselves as they usually seem to do under Bill Self going forward?
Well, I think the first thing is that it would certainly be helpful to have a high functioning body in the front court. Although I think that may be difficult to achieve now, because whether it's D'Souza or Preston coming in later, missing as Kansas has seen with players whose starts were delayed, Josh Selby, for example, Cheick Diallo, it really becomes very difficult at that point to be a high-functioning player joining the team with minimal experience and then having to get on board a moving train, so to speak. But so if you were lucky enough that either or both of those guys were able to join the team and become highly functioning players, that would really be a boost. But even if you just get the body, the five fouls would help, and the athleticism in the front court would help, and a rebound or two or three that you aren't getting now because you're too small and not dynamic in that spot a lot of the time, could help. But what I saw on Sunday that they can fix themselves is just paying attention to defense. I've never seen it. I can't say I've never seen it, but I can't recall seeing a Bill Self team give up more straight line drives than they gave up to Arizona State there. I mean, and all to the strong hand. I mean, it was Trey Holder wants his right hand, he's getting it time after time after time. It didn't matter who was guarding him. It wasn't any one particular player. All of the perimeter high, Vic and Graham and Newman and all the high-level perimeter guys they have gave up at least one of those drives at some point in the game. Some of them gave up multiple. That's the kind of stuff that it's surprising that it happened that day, but it certainly rarely would happen once Kansas is fully functioning. And I think that I'm sure that I haven't talked to Bill or anybody, but I'm sure that that was something that they addressed hard after Sunday's game, because that's just certainly not who they are, and it certainly can't be who they can afford to be in this iteration. I mean, if you're playing four smalls, you can't give up any drives because there's nobody there to stop it, other than you hang out Doak to get four quick fouls, and now you're even smaller. So you have to be cutting off penetration, and not just cutting off penetration with help, but being able to play in front of the ball at the point of attack. They did a surprisingly horrendous job of that against Arizona State.
Yeah, it was one of the worst defensive performances I think we've seen at Allen Fieldhouse, for sure. Now, they take on Nebraska at 7 o'clock on Saturday in Lincoln. Nebraska's 7-4. They've played a fairly tough schedule. They do have a win against, at the time, number 14 Minnesota. What kind of a challenge do the Cornhuskers pose to the Jayhawks?
I think a really, especially at this stage, a really difficult one, because you've kind of lost your mojo a little bit. You are small; they're not. You've got to deal with Glenn Watson, who's a very good point guard. He's probably not having a Trey Holder season, but he's very good. They went to Creighton on Saturday. Yeah. Saturday afternoon, cross-state or in-state rival, big game at Creighton. Creighton's a very good offensive team, and they were in a one-possession, two-possession game inside the final 4-minute timeout. So that's a indication that, you know, this is not this is a better Nebraska team maybe than it was anticipated to be. However, I think they've kind of reached a critical juncture in their season. I mean, they kind of need to continue to win at home. They beat Boston College at home. That win looks a little better now after BC beat Duke. As you said, they beat Minnesota at home. But, you know, they've played on the road a few times, and they've lost a few. And so this is the kind of win that could really be season-making for them. They've been sort of a nice-edge kind of team the last two or three years. You know, if things fall the right way, they're really good. If things fall the wrong way, they start to really accumulate. And so I think that this is an opportunity for Nebraska to say, you know, we're real, and that, you know, and in a Big Ten, as I mentioned, that's really struggling, they could fight to be in the first division, and a win like Kansas would maybe put them in the hunt for a tournament bid if they could be, you know, top five or six in the Big Ten. So this is an enormous opportunity for them. They usually draw really well. It's a hard place to play. It has been certainly for Big Ten opponents when Nebraska's been good. So I think this is going to be, you know, a sort of a pivotal game for Kansas, a game that could really sort of get them out of a difficult funk. And by the end of the year, you don't know whether that win, if you could get it, would stand up as a great win. But the people who will be in that game will know they'll have to play every inch of the court to win it.
Mike DeCourcy is our guest. Mike, Kansas State hosted the Wildcat Classic in Wichita this past weekend against Tulsa, and they lose 61-54. And so we've been trying to figure out exactly how good K-State is. They had that 2-point loss to Arizona State, but and they won at Vanderbilt. But losing in Wichita to Tulsa, what is your reaction to that loss?
I mean, that's not a good result for K-State at all. I mean, you're talking about it. If you've been on the road, you could maybe say, well, you know, road's tough, et cetera. You know, it's a relatively neutral floor, probably a little bit of an edge to K-State. I wasn't there, so I don't know for sure how the crowd split down. But that's a game that, you know, Tulsa has not been a good team so far this year. I mean, they've lost to Louisiana Monroe and to Illinois State a couple of times. This is not Illinois State of a year ago, which was one of probably the best team that didn't get into the tournament. Illinois State sort of rebuilding and trying to find their rhythm, and yet they've dominated Tulsa twice. So, you know, I think that that's a loss that's really hard to explain away. They were not offensively functional in that game. They didn't produce. They didn't get good quality shots. They 4 of 31 from 3-point range. If you're not scoring, and if you're making 12% of your 3-point shots, why on earth would you ever shoot 31 of them?
Right.
And way more than half of their shots in that game were from 3-point range, even though they were converting at a 12% clip. That's a team that gave up on its offense. And, you know, again, they have a lot to make up for. It won't be the worst loss of any, you know, team, but that's one that, you know, when you're not playing a strong schedule, and they certainly haven't to this point, you can't drop games to teams that aren't good because, you know, there's not that opportunity other than in the league to make up for what you gave up there.
Mike DeCourcy is our guest. Mike, Missouri should get a win on Saturday night at home against North Florida. Then they'll have just two games left before the conference season starts. They will host Stephen F. Austin, and then they'll play the bragging rights game against Illinois. So to further discussion about the chance for resume builders or quality wins, Stephen F. Austin, they've developed a nice reputation. They're 9-1, and then you've got the game against Illinois. What do you think of those two opportunities for wins? Is it more about not losing to those teams, or can Mizzou gain something as far as the resume by getting those two wins if they can do it?
You know, I'm not going to say that neither North Florida nor Stephen F. Austin can compete because they've both been NCAA tournament teams recently. So certainly the Tigers will have to continue to play at the level that they have in order to win. But if they play as well as they did against Miami or as well as they did against Green Bay, they'll be fine. But I'm really kind of excited a little bit about the bragging rights game again.
Right.
I don't think Illinois is as good as Mizzou is. But they've been good enough to play with just about everybody they've played. I mean, they've been in almost every game. And so it's fun. It's not where the rivalry will be probably in the year or two, when Underwood gets a couple more guys and he's got a little bit more talent. That the Illinois' problem right now is they just are missing that either the experience that carries you through, because they've got guys like Mark Smith and Frazier that are going to be very good Big Ten players, but right now they're young and so they're not there yet. And then you've got guys like Laron Black, who's a good quality major conference player, but not talented enough to carry a team. So they just don't have that guy to push them through the tough moments. So a couple of years from now, maybe even next year, that game's going to be just dynamite. But at least it's intriguing again. I mean, for 3-4 years, it's just been an absolute waste of time. So now it's intriguing. I'm thrilled to see that rivalry, get spiced up a little bit again, because it's one of the great rivalries in college basketball. I got a chance to go to one game. I think it was around 01, 02 maybe. I think it was that season, or maybe it was 02, 03. It was somewhere around in there. Both teams were excellent, as you guys can remember. And it was as fun a rivalry game as I've been to. And so it's nice to see. I know it's still a little bit of time before that game happens, and certainly the Tigers have to take care of business against two very good mid to low major teams. But that it's really terrific to see the bragging rights game get spiced up again.
All right, there's a game that we're all very excited to watch this weekend that's got some local ties to it, and that is Oklahoma taking on Wichita State in Wichita. We're all excited to see Trey Young against Landry Shamet. What do you think of this matchup, and how good is Wichita State? How good is Trey Young?
Trey Young is outstanding. I mean, he's tremendous. He's kind of what we got away from. I like to see this. Steph Curry maybe has reignited the possibility of what an offensive guard can be. When I grew up, guys, I mean, Austin Carr and Pete Maravich and Johnny Newman, I mean, they had guys like that on, that's not in every corner, but, I mean, it wasn't crazy for guys to average 35 a game. And the game started to evolve a little bit away from that, to where everybody wanted to be the guy who shot the ball, so, the best guy didn't get to shoot it all the time anymore, and defenses got a little more sophisticated so that it was hard to be that player as well. I think Steph and his success with the Warriors has sort of allowed a guy like Trae Young to happen. And if Trae had been 10 years earlier, I mean, they'd have made him pass the ball. It's just as simple as that. They'd have said, every time down, you got to pass it. And no matter what, and if it comes back to you after it touches five other guys five other times, maybe you can shoot it then. That's what they'd have done with him. And now it's, hey, you know what? You're a better scorer than anybody we got, and we're not bad, but you're way better. So go ahead, do what you do, and I think it's great. And it'll be a real interesting challenge for him because Shamet is, a bigger, longer defender, as good a defender at his spot as you can be as a sophomore. I mean, I think if Landry plays longer, and I don't know if that's what he'll do. But if Landry plays deeper into his career, he will be one of the great defensive college point guards that we've seen. But as of now, for a guy who's played, a year and a third, I mean, he's really good. And so, I think that that's just a dynamic matchup, really entertaining to watch. I'm looking forward to it as much as you guys.
How do you think this version of Wichita State compares to the best team or the best teams that Greg Marshall has had in Wichita?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty high standard. I mean, the undefeated team of 2014, that's a standard that just about every program in America would have a difficult time saying, our guys could beat that team. That team was fantastic. That team was already kind of experienced and ready to go from day one of that year, because they made the Final Four the year before. So even though Ron Baker and Fred VanVleet were sophomores that year, they were really ready to roll early in that year. And so this team at this stage of the season is not that good. And I honestly, even if they won the national championship, and that's not crazy. I mean, they would probably be in the second group of teams that could win it. Not up there with Michigan State and Duke and Villanova and a few others. Maybe Kansas if they can get some reinforcements. But they would be in the next group of of teams like that. Maybe could be like Villanova 16 and sort of like keep winning one at a time and be there in the end. I think that that's not impossible, but even if they were able to do that, I'm not sure that they could say that they would have achieved at that point better than the 2014 team. But that 2014 team probably go down as the best in the history of Wichita State basketball, and there's no shame in that.
Well, they could have an easier path once they get to the tournament because they won't get screwed over by being in the Missouri Valley. This time around,
well,
right?
Well, that's true, because even though they were a one seed that year, and certainly last year, to only get a 10 with, or they were the, I'm trying to remember, were they the 10 or they were the 7? They think they were the 10. To get that seed with what they did last year was really rugged, really not a fair deal. And even the year that they were the 1, and it was like, okay, we'll make them the 1 because you guys have been screaming at us for 2 months, but we'll make them play the best 2, the best 3, the best 4, the best 5, the best 8-9 in the history probably of the game. And if they can do that, then they'll be then good for them. But so it was kind of a rough deal. And now in the American Conference with Cincinnati and Tulsa and Memphis and Central Florida, Tulane. I meant to say Temple, but I said Tulane. But Tulane is in the league. Tulane's, although they're playing better, and then SMU. It's a much stronger league than what they've been accustomed to. So they won't get the beaten around by the RPI or Ken Palm or any of that sort of computer stuff.
Should be a terrific matchup though between Wichita State and Oklahoma Saturday afternoon.
And by the way, before you go,
yes.
I shouldn't have thrown Ken Palm in there because Ken Palm's measure has acknowledged the greatness of Wichita State over the last couple of years. Yeah. It was the RPI that wouldn't give in.
Yeah. Mike, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. You can follow him on Twitter. TSN Mike is his handle. Up next, boy, we received several phone calls, a few emails. I believe there was four or five posts on MySpace.
Someone actually just showed up in the what do you call that?
Easy for you to say.
Lobby.
The lobby.
Yeah.
To see this live.
Yes.
To
Nate.
Whoa. Oh boy. The interns, Connell the intern and Mean Mug the intern, will both be on the show together, live, and a lot of people. There's a heavy buzz. You can cut the tension with a knife, all those different things, any way you want to describe it. It's all true. Up next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.